morning, church. I want to let you know that there's free Wi-Fi and chargers and good acoustics in the first three rows, so you guys don't have to sit all the way back there. I see that we are a little small today, and for what today is, I'm actually okay with that, because today is Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to you! We are glad you are here because we are here because you are here. And with that being said, I'll say happy Mother's Day to you, Mom. I know you're listening, and I'm glad you do every single time. So today, I want to talk about Mother's Day, because the Bible actually has quite a bit to say about mothers that I couldn't even include all the scripture that I wanted to. In fact, I avoided Ruth completely. And I know most people, when they talk about mothers, they go to the book of Ruth. But because I know that's probably the most often cited scripture for mothers, I decided to look at some of the other scripture for mothers. So, got to turn this on. Moms, you guys do so much, and you definitely deserve a day off. I love this cartoon, because this cartoon perfectly shows exactly what a mother does. So it says, if you can't read it, Mom, we've hired a few people to fill in for you on while you relax on Mother's Day. And if you can't tell, you see that they've hired a maid, a taxi service, a priest, a cook, a nurse, an entertainer, a teacher, and even a fortune teller. Moms are really good fortune tellers, right? They know exactly what you're going to do. And then you're like, how did she know that? Well, let me tell you something. Kids are terrible liars. Something that I had to learn as I've become a dad myself. But yet, moms do so much. And so it's impossible to really say thank you because of every single thing that they've done for you. And so you guys deserve this holiday, even more so than any other holiday. And so this holiday actually started about 151 years ago by a movement started by a woman named Ann Jarvis. Now, she saw that the Civil War divided a lot of families. Now, they divided them in different ways, mostly because of the actual fighting, but because people took sides, and that means families took sides. But there's one thing that families tend to rally behind more than anything, and that is the matriarch of the family, or the mother. And so she used that as a rallying point to bring people together, and her daughter continued her work almost 60 years later, where President Woodrow Wilson finally made it a national holiday. And today we see that this holiday is probably maybe even more important than Christmas, or at least people treat it more important than Christmas, though while not more gifts are bought, more phone calls and restaurants and flowers are purchased at this time than any other time of the year. So, call your mom, send her some flowers, take her out to lunch. There, you've got all three. Now, so what does the Bible have to say about what makes a good mom? Well, we're going to talk about that in a second. Before I get to that, I want to talk about what mothers give us. Because mothers give us so many things. And they give us what we want, right? You guys want to give your kids what they want? Sometimes you think they want a swift kick in the pants, but we'll get to that in a second. But mothers, you know, they take you to places, they give you rides, they give you money, maybe an allowance, or they buy gifts or toys for you to play with. They help you with school projects or any personal problems you have. They come to you for advice. How do I do this, Mom? And this is something, you know, I'm 36 years old. I still ask my mother for advice. Oh, 35. I'm going to be 36 later. But, you know, mothers, they don't only give us what we want, they give us what we don't want. They give us that switch kick in the pants, right? They tell us no. And they tell us, they send us to the corner, or they spank our bottoms, or they tell us things when we don't want to hear them. You know, sometimes your moms give you advice you don't want to hear. And they're not doing it because they want to spite you. They're doing it because they want you to be better. And this is my favorite because I see it a lot in television, but I don't actually know if it's accurate, is moms give you exposure, or they show up to places where you don't want them to be. Okay, Mom, you can drop me off 3 blocks away from school. I don't want you driving me up to the gate. That's embarrassing. Something that you don't really learn it until you're an adult. You're never embarrassed by your family. You should never be embarrassed by your parents. So the Bible says, when you look at what the Bible says, makes a good mom, the first thing we looked at, the scripture we just read, is what makes a good mom is a good woman. Now, I want to be very clear here, is that you do not have to have every single one of these requirements to be a good woman. I know there are many women in here who maybe only has a few of these. Maybe you're not very crafty, or maybe you're not very shrewd, or you're not very organized. That does not mean you are not a good woman. But when we read Proverbs 31, it says that this good woman is someone who aspires to do these things, or does these things, or even some of these things, because none of us are perfect. And if you were listening, this is just a very quick list of everything he says. A good woman is an excellent wife, is trusted, is caring, crafty, provides for their family. They're astute or observant. They are organized. They're shrewd, especially when it comes to their children. Maybe not in business, but they know how to handle their children better than anything. They're careful. They're hospitable, they're charitable, and they're well known. But out of all of these are important, but the next six, I think, are extremely important. And if I had to pick four people that I would say are a mom to me, including my mom and my wife's mom and a few others, they meet these next six requirements. And it is, they are strong, they are diligent, brave, blessed, and hard-working. But most importantly, out of everything, what the writer of Proverbs says is that none of this other stuff, it's all important, but comparatively to this last one, this is the one that a good mother should strive for, because this is the one that sets the tone for her whole life. And that is, she is someone that doesn't care about charm or beauty, but that fears the Lord. And this is what the writer of Ecclesiastes says at the end. Is there a lot of stuff in life, and none of it matters compared to this. To fear the Lord. Keep the Lord. Because everything in your life should be set beyond that. So the Old Testament and the New Testament are full of so many things that show us what a good mother are. And it's just not even this quick list here, but we just see it everywhere, all over the place. Mothers are self-sacrificing and selfless. You know that story in 1 Kings chapter 3 where Solomon is judged for his wisdom? We see this as a story all about Solomon. And it really is. But there's really important thing that takes place in this story is we see a mother. Well, we see two mothers that are fighting over one baby. One mother lost her baby, and the other one, and now both of them are claiming this baby belongs to them. And Solomon, in all his wisdom, says, "Bring me a sword. I'm going to cut them in half. I'm going to cut the baby in half. I'm going to give one to this mother and one to that mother, and so they'll both be happy." Well, anybody with, you know, a little bit of intelligence would say, that's a terrible idea. Why would you do that? But we see that Solomon, in his wisdom, is trying to decide who the real mother is, because he knows the real mother cares more about the safety and the well-being of the child than her own happiness, that she'd rather see the child go to someone else than to see it die. And so when Solomon, seeing that the lady is willing to give up the child, he knows that it is truly this mother. Because the other woman doesn't care. She even says, fine, cut it in half, neither one of us. That's a terrible mother. A good mother gives up her own happiness for her child. That doesn't mean you're a bad mother if you don't. But this is what the Bible is saying. The Bible also tells us that good mothers tend to be silent sufferers. A lot of things happen in life, and often you take those, you roll with the punches, as we might say, and so you don't really grieve or complain because you know that there's something much better. I have to wonder about this passage in Luke where Mary, while she presents Jesus to the temple on the eighth day, and she's confronted by the prophetess Anna, and Anna says to her that a sword is going to pierce your heart to reveal the hearts of men. You're going to suffer because something your son is going to do to make the rest of the world better. That sounds quite terrible. And she did. Where was Mary when Jesus was on the cross? She was right there. She stood silently and watched her son die, knowing there was absolutely nothing she could do about it. Luckily for you, I don't think anybody in the world kills by crucifixion anymore, and you will probably never see your children die. But there are other ways that you suffer as a result of your kids, because you care about your kids. The Bible also shows us that mothers and fathers, but we're talking about mothers today, are worthy of honor. Both the New Testament and the Old Testament quote this very, very importantly. In fact, God lists it in the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother. And Paul, in Ephesians, writes something else. He says, this is the first commandment with a promise. Do you know why we honor our parents? We don't honor our parents because God tells us to, though that is a good reason. We honor our parents because it teaches us to show the rest of the world love and respect. If we cannot honor our parents, how could we truly love God? You want things to go well with you? Well, if you don't honor your parents, I guarantee you things are not going to go very well with you. You're probably going to get, as I have already said, that swift kick in the pants. But things will be much better for you because if you show them respect, you're more likely to show the rest of the world respect. So mothers are deserving of honor. Mothers also make us great. You read scripture, you read Timothy. Paul is commending Timothy on how great of a person he is. And he says, I know you're great because you have the spirit of two great women in your lives. You have the spirit of your mother and your grandmother who have made you a great person. Like I said, mothers teach us so many things. They teach us how grace, faith, forgiveness, morals, values, all the things we learn that are important to living, but also important to God. They inspire us. They give us encouragement. They teach us self-worth. They make us who we are. I hope my children are more like Rachel than they are like me. I hope that I am more like my mom than I am like my father. Because we know, we as men recognize that our better halves are who our children should be like. That's why we call them the better half, right? Herman, is that correct?
Amen.
All right. We owe our mothers more than we could ever give. Now, we also say we owe our Heavenly Father more than we can ever give, and that's true. We owe Him more than is entirely possible. But I would say not just underneath Him, but the next thing just underneath that, maybe well below that, is our mother. There's nothing we can do to pay back our mother. But we should continue to show them love and compassion, just like we continue to show them love and compassion to our Father, our Heavenly Father. But because of everything that they've done for us, we also have that obligation to make sure that they can be taken care of. Jesus saw this as important. The very last thing He does on the cross before dying is He turns to John and He says, "This woman is now your mother. You take care of her." Jesus saw that. Jesus, the Son of God, saw His earthly mother and said, "You are going to be taken care of. I will do everything in my power to make sure that happens." because it's very, very important. And to be quite frank, there are consequences for not taking care of your mother. Deuteronomy 27 says, "Cursed by anyone who dishonors his father and mother," and all the people should say, "Amen." Right? Amen. And I guarantee you, or if you were listening to my class, if you do not obey your parents, there are going to be consequences, no matter how old you are. 17 years old, I did something. I don't even remember what I did. But I remember my mother, who I stand a good 6 inches above, and probably could have beat the snot out of her if I wanted to, reached up, grabbed my ear, pulled me down to her level, and said, "You will obey me, or I will beat the tar out of you." I don't remember what I did, but I remember that incident. And you know what? I would have let her. Because there are consequences for disobeying your family, your parents. But we also see, and this is very, very important, and I want to talk about this for a quick minute, because there's someone in this room that inspired this passage for me. If there are people in our lives that are not our biological mothers, but they fit the role of our mother. And that, maybe it's a stepmom, or maybe it's just someone who decided to take care of you. Paul wrote to, in the book of Romans, Paul wrote to greet Rufus. But not only Rufus, but Rufus' mother, because he was a mother to her. And now we have no clue who this woman is, and so she is forever named Rufus' mom. I think all of you should find that a little bit funny, especially if you have kids. Because you lose your name and you become Rachel's mom. Or whoever. But Paul saw this as important. And she is forever blessed 2,000 years later, this nameless woman, because what she did to Paul. And so I kind of want to, I know I'm probably going to embarrass her a little bit, but I really want to say Happy Mother's Day to my church mom, Regina, who is taken upon, who's kind of adopted me and my family as part of her family. Because they are also worthy of that praise. No mother is perfect. No woman is going to be like every single thing we read in Proverbs 31. But frankly, that really doesn't matter. Because we recognize that no one is perfect. But because of our love for them, their love for us, and our shared love for the world, that we can overcome any imperfection. It's like Peter says in 1 Peter, love covers a multitude of sins. And finally, we see God, who is our Heavenly Father, and we often look at Him as our Father. The Bible describes all these feminine or womanly traits that I really want to point out, because they're very, very important. We see that God is this all-powerful and all-knowing, kind of like a mother, being. But He is also compassionate, kind, and cares about His child, His children. We see in Deuteronomy, He is like an eagle hovering over His young. Or the psalmist, a midwife caring for the child he delivered. Or a mother that will not forget her children. Or even Isaiah, again, this nursing mother. Or someone who will fight a bear to protect her cubs. Or like an angry bear protecting his cubs. These are all wonderful traits of a mother. And so while we come today to talk about God and talk about scriptures and worship God, I think it's also nice to mention how important the second most important person in our lives, our mothers, and say that you are also worthy of honor. And so I took this passage in Corinthians that I know you're all very, very familiar with, and I kind of changed it a little bit, so please don't be mad at me, because I'm not saying this should be the actual saying. But to really just illustrate how important moms are, and that is mothers are patient and kind. They are not envious, but they will boast about their children. They insist on their way or the highway, and they should have it that way. But not out of resentment or wrongdoing, but out of love and truth and improvement. Because a mother bears for her child, believes for her child, and hopes for her child, especially if she fears the Lord and loves the Lord. Because it's not necessarily about fear, but it's about love. And if we don't recognize the love we have in God, we certainly recognize the love we have from our parents, from our mothers. If you feel like you need to respond to this message, if there's anything that we and the elders can do to help, please come as we stand and sing this song.